God says it best in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, paraphrased. And your sins in which you formerly walked according to the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so we could walk in them. I want to relate a story to you about a person named John Newton. Not a very nice fellow. John Newton was a slave trader whose lifestyle shamed even his fellow sailors. He cursed, proclaimed his atheism to anyone who would hear. He was notorious for his promiscuity and for the disregard of the feelings and rights of those around him. He was boastful that he needed no one and would destroy anyone who got in his way. In March of 1748, a violent storm sent massive waves across his ship. Water poured into his cabin. He heard his sailors yell, "The ship is sinking." When he reached the deck, the masts were shattered and the sails were in tatters. Drenched by icy waters, he struggled to keep the ship afloat. He started to remember the scriptures he had learned as a child. So he began to read the New Testament. He soon realized that his story was very similar to that of the prodigal son. The power of what he read not only broke his personal chains, but he found himself as a new person. Well, now that you know that story, I want to share something that he later wrote. And he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Of course, we all know that song as "Amazing Grace." In his hours of terror, Newton found the answers to life itself. Grace. The secret to radical change in our lives is not self-reformation, but discovering the transforming grace of God's love. For Newton, reading from the New Testament in the most desperate hours of his life, drinking refreshing water. The same grace is available to you, to all who open their hearts to God's love. Even when daily chains within bind you, grace can release you to new freedom. Why don't you discover it for yourself today? Please join me in prayer on this Easter Sunday as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me. Dear Lord, none of us can go back and change the beginning, but we can start where we are and change the ending. That is the message of grace and the hope we have for eternity. Grace is amazing. Grace isn't just the theological means that you and I can make it to heaven. Because of grace, our sins are forgiven. Jesus is our Savior. Though we had no hope of doing enough good deeds to purchase a ticket into glory, our Lord offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. Now neither you nor I must pay the price we owe for our sins, which is eternal separation from God. Jesus died for you and me. Every time we partake of communion, we are proclaiming that Christ died for our sins. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death, the good news that Christ died for our sins. And it is in His name we pray. Amen. Please join me in the prayer for the offering. Dear Lord, there are many ways for us to contribute to your work through Woodstock Christian Church. Help each of us to remember that all that we have comes from you, and you only ask that we return a mere 10% for the continued growth of your work through this church. Bless the givers and expand the gifts as only you can for the ongoing growth of your kingdom. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Happy Easter. It is good to be here. I'm glad to see all of you out here today and to celebrate Easter, the resurrection. It's the cornerstone of our faith. It's the reason we call ourselves Christians is the resurrection. And we celebrate that He is risen. And I was trying to think of some way to preach a different Easter sermon than usual, and that's hard, you know. But, because there's more to life than just talking about Jesus rising from the tomb. How does that apply to us? What does that mean to us as people? So I believe that there is transformation that comes from it because of the resurrection. Can the resurrection make a difference in your life today? That's the real question. Does it matter to you in 2023? It's been a long time, hasn't it? Is it just as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago? Well, in the midst of Desert Storm, way back September 27, 1991, I had just graduated from high school. And Ruth Dillo from Illinois received a heartbreaking message from the military. Her son, Private First Class Clayton Carpenter, had stepped on a mine in the Persian Gulf and been killed. Well, Miss Dillo wrote about it. She said, "I can't begin to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear." She said, "For 3 days I wept. For 3 days, I expressed anger. For 3 days, I experienced true loss. For 3 days, people tried to comfort me to no avail because the loss was too great." And many of us have felt that kind of loss in our life with the passing of a parent or a sibling or a child. It's something that you just can't be comforted by somebody else, can you? But then, 3 days after she received the message of the passing of her son, the phone rang. And a voice on the other end was her son. He said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." Ruth Dillo said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but I recognized his voice. He was really alive." She said, "I laughed. I cried." She said, "I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive." She said, she goes on, she says, "I'm sure none of you can even begin to understand how I felt." And she's probably right, isn't it? Not many of us can say that we've lost someone to death and seen them come back. Because in her heart, within her, he was really, she just knew he was really gone. So her son, which was gone, is now alive. Now, can you imagine the joy? But what I really want you to notice is the change in her life about knowing the truth about her son being dead. She suddenly went from crying to laughing, to want to do cartwheels. I'd try to do one right now, but you would laugh. It's not even funny what you all are thinking right now. So, no, I'm not doing it. But, you know, it's been over 2,000 years. And in reality, Jesus was dead. Dead. The one who claimed godhood was dead. The one who performed miracles, opened blinded eyes, we raised other people from the dead, was dead. The one who said he would destroy this temple and raise it again in 3 days is now laying in a tomb. He was dead. His disciples believed he was dead. They believed it so much they run and they hid. Think about it. They believed it. They saw him die. Mary believed he was dead. She sat around and wondered who can possibly move that big old rock they put in the way. But then you look at the change made in the lives of those who found the empty tomb. There's a difference. The people who believe the truth of his resurrection. And what I want you to see is how the resurrection made a difference in disciples. And I want to know if it's making a difference in your life today. You see, I believe that if we accept the fact of Jesus' resurrection, it can make a big difference in our life. Don't you? This morning I want us to look at two areas of our thinking that the resurrection can make a difference. It can change it. It can transform the way we think about life. Have you ever thought about how you think about living? What are the basic necessities of life? Food, water, clothes, shelter, coffee, banana pudding, you know, those don't count. Butterscotch pie, barbecue, cherry pie. I don't like cherry pie. But, you know, anyway. But if by reason, resurrection, Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth and he has all authority, then his words are truth, correct? You believe that Jesus is Lord, then what he says should be truth. 100% truth. Well, and if his words are truth, then in Matthew 6 when he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? How about that? Don't worry about tomorrow. There are two things he's changed if you really hold on to the resurrection in your way of thinking. First of all, he will provide. He will provide. If you've taken him as Lord of your life in faith, because of his resurrection, he promises to provide your basic necessities. Now, he doesn't promise you a Porsche. He doesn't promise you a mansion. He promises your basics. He promises you'll have what you need, not what you want. Because there's a difference, isn't there? And I would say a lot of us are old enough where our wants won't hurt us if we don't get them. But we still want them. But he'll provide what we need. And that should be a big load off your back, shouldn't it? What do we spend most of our lives doing? Working to provide. Most of your life is spent working. And I'm not... For goodness sake, don't any of you go to your boss and say, well, my preacher said I needed to quit because I need to let the Lord provide. That's not what I'm telling you. Okay, I'm not telling you to quit work. And contrary, I'm telling you to work harder. But because he is our provider, our Jehovah Jireh, we no longer have to be working for just basic necessities. Because he will provide. Now, we work for who? For him. For him. Not for provisions. Because of the truth of his word, he is Lord, but because of his resurrection, we know that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. Think about that. Work is what you do for the Lord. What you do for the Lord. God wants our work to mean something for his kingdom. Do you understand? Too many people are so focused on themselves that they're miserable in their work because they don't realize the opportunity they have for the kingdom where they are. Because if you will work with all of your heart for him, because we know that he'll provide, we can view our work differently. We can see it as a mission field. Opportunities to glorify God, to share with others, to show our family how God works. I can say this because I haven't always been a preacher. I worked in the secular world till I was 30 years old before I ever set foot in a Bible college. And I know what a mission field it is where you work. They need to know about Jesus. And if you're a terrible employee, and you call yourself a Christian, then you're not working for the Lord. You've missed the point. You should be the best employee they got because you're working for the Lord. They should see you as an example. You know, to illustrate what God is like in the workplace is important. People need to see that. Now we can seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and not be concerned about, think differently about our work. And secondly, because He provides, you know, we don't have to worry. Any of you like to worry? Any of you been worried lately? If you've watched the news at all, you're probably worried a little bit. But Jesus, who is now Lord, because of the resurrection, says, isn't life more valuable than food? Isn't the body more important than clothes? You know, I believe Jesus introducing his readers to the idea that the purpose in life is not about the physical. But we live in a world that lives for the physical, don't we? He's Lord. He has all authority. He created you, your needs, your desires. He knows your struggles and what you desire and what you need. And he says, I'll give you what you need. He'll provide you for this journey through this world. He said, don't be anxious for these things. They're temporary. And eternity is a long time. You're concerning yourself with the eternal purpose of the journey. His kingdom, His righteousness. He came to give you peace and joy and victory. His peace, His joy, His victory, not worry. But we all worry, don't we? Worry tears down. Jesus came to give hope and confidence. You know what I've noticed about most worriers? They don't have a lot of friends. People don't like to be around them, do they? You know that person that worries all the time? And you see people rolling their eyes when they open their mouth. Worry, worry, worry. And they worry, most of the time they worry about things they can do nothing about. Jesus said, trust in me. Trust in me. How can you enjoy and victory in the midst of worry? If we're worried about everything in the world, then how in the world can we say we believe in Jesus who said, don't be afraid, I've overcome the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus said, don't be afraid, I've overcome the world? Then why don't we live like it? Why don't we live like he actually said that and he meant it and his words are truth? If we're worrying about anything but his kingdom, then our eyes are not on him. He's not in first place anymore, is he? He's not Lord. If we're looking somewhere else, he's Lord because of the resurrection. The way we think about life will clearly demonstrate to the world what we believe about the resurrection. Can his resurrection make a difference in the way that we view life? Can it? Yes. Even accept the fact that God desired his best for us, eternal life is what he's really worried about, that he gave his very best. You know what his very best was? Jesus. He gave Jesus. His son whom he raised from the dead on our behalf because, you know why? Because he loves us. Then why should we worry about life? Why should we let it weigh us down? He'll provide. That's freedom. Let go and let God. But secondly, if we accept the fact of Jesus' resurrection, that it can make a big difference in our life, but it can also make a big difference in the way we think about death. You ever think about death? What do you think about death? People don't like to talk about it. So we want to make this second part short and sweet, right? But let me connect the two, life and death. What you believe about life, the way you view life, is also what you believe about death. Did you catch that? What you believe about life, the way you view life, is also what you believe about death. If you've accepted the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one get to heaven except through him and in him only, that it is in Christ and Christ alone that gives you forgiveness of sins, that the same God who loved us so much, he sacrificed himself for us to save us for eternity, then your view of life will demonstrate what you believe about death. For you, death becomes an entrance into the Holy of Holies. Death is simply a doorway into something better. Look at death that way, you'll do nothing but worry about it. Death is not a bad thing. I'm not afraid of death. Now, the process I'm a little worried about. You know? But being dead doesn't scare me. Because I'll just go on and you can stay and fight this mess. I'm going to paradise. But the way I view death matters. You know, for you, if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that he came and he saved your soul and you're in Christ, for you, death means seeing Jesus, the one who provides, who gives you love and food and joy. He provided life abundantly, shelter because you didn't have to worry, and peace and clothing. Faith in his resurrection brings victory to life already. Do you understand? You can live happier if you just believe and trust in him. You don't have to wait till you die to have joy. You can have it now. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? The way we talk makes a difference. You know, give blessing instead of cursing. The way we walk, you're free to go where he takes us. The way we sing, freedom is a sweet song. That makes a difference in the way we die. I worked in hospice care for a while as a chaplain. I've seen people leave this world. Lots of them. Been in the room. And I've seen them go kicking and screaming. And I've seen them go with the joy of knowing they're going to heaven. I choose joy. When I die, I'm going. Those people who looked at me and said, "Don't worry about me, I'm going to heaven." Or they looked at their loved ones and said, "I'll see you one day in heaven." That is joy. I once had a man who was dying, and they had the drip on, and he was watching the drip come in, you know, the morphine drip, and he asked the nurse, "How long do I have before I die?" And she just broke. She started bawling. He said, no, honey. I just want to know how long I've got till I get to heaven." He knew and believed in the resurrection. Do you? Do you believe in the resurrection enough to have that kind of confidence? Do you? You know, if we live the fact of the resurrection, the death will simply be a transition to life eternal. Oh, we'll grieve at the death of our loved ones. Don't you grieve? I grieve. But if they've claimed the fact in their life, then we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We've read the back of the book. I've read the back. And you know what happens? We win. There's victory there. Do you live like that? Do you live with, or are you just waiting to see if it's really true? Because if you really believe this, it's the word of God, and it is what it says it is, and you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you believe that you're going to win. You believe that no matter how hard this world is, and it's hard, isn't it? Can you say it's hard? Anybody struggle? Surely none of you had any struggles this week, did you? Yeah, it's hard. But let me tell you something. Paul said it's worth it because we win. Jesus said to me, "You win." You know, once you've claimed the resurrection on their life, we don't grieve like those who have no hope because we know we'll see them again. Now, I want to picture it this way. Imagine you're an ice skater in a competition. Now, some of you, that's scary. But you're in first place and one more round to go. And if you perform well, the trophy's yours. You're going to win. You're nervous, you're anxious, and you're frightened. It'd be tough, wouldn't it? Just imagine, how much pressure would there be on you if you're next up, and as long as you do okay, you're going to win? No pressure at all, right? Well, just minutes before your performance, your trainer rushes up with thrilling news and says, you've already won. The judges have put together the scores, and the person in second place can't catch you no matter how bad you mess up. Now, how would you feel at that news? Exhilarated, right? Oh, man, I got this. And how would you skate? Would you be timid? No. Would you go cautious? Absolutely not. You'd be wide open, taking chances you'd never take. You'd be courageous and confident. You'll do your best because the prize is already yours. You'll skate like a champion because that's what you are. You'll hear the applause of victory before it ever comes. How many of us are living life afraid when we already got victory? We can live with confidence and joy, but we're walking around scared to death. You know God's on your side. The world may beat you down and you may fall down, but you're still going to win. We should live like it. Be confident. Philippians 3 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death as to attain the resurrection from the dead. Wow. Do you live like that? We should. And then some of my favorite passages is these verses, Romans 6, 3 through 10. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For we have been united with him in death like this. We will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. You get to win too. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away, no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. But he goes on, he says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Did you catch that? For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. You only have to go through this world one time and all of its struggles. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. You know, if you're in Christ, you're united in his death through baptism, then you'll be like him in his resurrection. But did you notice? It says, if you are in Christ, you've got to be a Christian first. He laid down his life to take away your guilt, your shame, and your sin, then rose on the third day to show you that he meant it. He wasn't just playing around when it came to saving your soul. He meant it. He says to you, you are victorious. The prize is yours. You know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that good news? But that means that you have to be in Christ before you can claim victory. You can't just say, I'm a winner. Man, that was interesting, wasn't it? That was perfect timing. But you can't. You just can't proclaim victory. If you haven't given yourself up to Jesus, if you haven't submitted to Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you're not going to be victorious. You're not. You may think you have. You may be really successful here in this world. You may have anybody could ever want. You could have all the money in the world, But if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. You lose. You understand that? You may have nice cars, big boats, big vacations, and no mortgage. But without Jesus, an eternity in hell's a long time. There is no victory there. None. But for those of us, we've already committed ourselves to Jesus. We've got victory coming our way. Victory. With that knowledge in our hearts, with knowing that you've got victory, let me ask you a question. Are you living like it? Are you living a victorious life? Are you living a life worthy of Jesus being raised from the dead? Are you? You think about what it cost for us to. Do you live like it? Let me show you this little short video. Before we go and have our Easter lunches and go on about our lives, just a little short video to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about.
We were not created to live stagnant lives, to be stuck, bound, or broken. We were created with a purpose, a calling, a mandate, a mission. Even in these uncertain times, that calling remains the same: to go into the world, to make disciples, to share the love of Jesus. This is the work of Easter. The greatness of God, the power of the resurrection in action. What Jesus did has changed us, made us a new creation, given us an unimaginable hope. Grace has taken root. Mercy has flooded our souls, and the promise of eternity has redefined our everything. So why keep all that to ourselves? It's time to put Easter in motion, to make a difference, to share Jesus with the world around us. If your life has been changed, it's time to get to work.
I told you earlier it was about working harder, didn't I? You know, none of us can earn salvation. That price was paid in full on Calvary. Paid in full. He went to the cross to pay for you and I and our sins. And he says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So my challenge to you this Easter is to go a little step further than you've ever gone. To look up and see what it cost for your salvation. He was willing to carry an old rugged cross, heavy, up that hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull. He was willing to carry that. The cross represents mine and your sins. He carried the weight of our sins on his back. And then they nailed him to that cross where the blood ran out. And it's that blood that offers us salvation. And if we call ourselves Christians, how dare us say all I want to do is sit in church on Easter and then go out and have my lunch and just live on life like it didn't matter? Do you believe that the resurrection matters? Then let's live like it. Let's go out and make a difference in this world. Let's make the headlines look a little better next week because we brought somebody to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus and you've never known what it is for salvation, what better to decide, I want to be a Christian? You can come forward, confess Him as Lord, and we'll baptize you right now. Because the salvation of your soul is what Easter's all about. It's not about egg hunts and pretty pictures. It's about salvation and eternity. So what will it be? Will you choose Jesus and the salvation He so suffered for you? Or will you choose the world? What will it be? Will you choose it today? Will you choose to believe that Jesus died? On 3 days later, He got back up and He walked out of that grave. If that's you, the invitation is open for you. You can come forward, confess Him as Lord. But a lot of us have already done that, and we found ourselves stuck in the Christian rut. You know what I'm talking about? That going through the motions that we do. You know, we come to church and we sit in our chair in the same seat usually every Sunday, and we drink our coffee and we go through the motions, and it makes us feel good about who we are. But I'm going to tell you, it's more than that. Being a Christian is a way of living. Not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. It's about saying, Jesus died for me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday too. And He died for everybody that calls upon His name. So whatever decision you make, if you need to rededicate your life, if you just need to pray, or if you need first time, don't let today get away. Let Him change the way you look at life. And even more so, let Him change the way you die. Because dying with victory sounds better to me than it's you. Whatever decision you need to make, make it as we stand and sing.
Through your holy name. Then the next one is actually right around the corner. Axe throwing. There she is. I was like, I spotted you before I got up here, and then I lost you. You will see Kathy Miller if you have any questions on this one, but it is April 29th. We are meeting at Sappy Axes at 1:45. We have some lanes rented from 2 o'clock until 3 o'clock, so that is the hour we will have. Please don't not come just because you don't think you can throw an axe. It's more about the fellowship time as women from as young as me to however old. We just want everybody together to have fun and fellowship. If throwing axes or being around axes is not your thing, right after that, we are going to go ahead and go and have dinner at Gustin's. So it'll probably be about 3:15 when we're getting there, the group of us. So if you don't want to do the eating or the throwing the axes eating, come and join us there, and we're going to try to get a big table and get everybody together.
The Gustin's in Ackworth.
The Gustin's in Ackworth, right by there. A couple other announcements that we thought of that weren't on this. First, if you are a nursery worker or help volunteer at all within the nursery, there are cute little thank you gifts over there, so please make sure you come over and snag, or if your spouse is not here, grab theirs. Also, their check-in desk in the back. If you are a visitor, please stop by there. There is a gift for you. We would like to get to know you and meet you. And then also, there is a wonderful area for photography for Easter pictures. If you worked hard to get your kids or your family dressed up, take advantage of it, get the proof.
Now, that you didn't have to listen to me. Is that good? And I'm glad I'm not getting axes thrown at me. But do keep all those things in mind and check your emails and open them up and see the newsletter that you got. We send those emails out, and we know who opens them, and about 40% of you open them. And then about another 20% of that 40% opens the newsletter. And then you come and say, I don't know what's going on. Well, you didn't open your email. But check social media too. Hey, you know what? It's Easter Sunday. Happy Easter. Now let's go be the church. You know, it's great to come in here and gather, but this is not the church. You guys are the church. So let's go take church to the world. I'll be up here for a few minutes if you want to talk to me before you get your picture took. But you can come see me after service. Kenny, will you dismiss us?
God, thank you for the message today. Thank you for the always ability to come and just worship, so we can feel your presence. And just thank you for everything that you do for us. Be with us this week as we push that extra step and we go that extra inch to live our lives for you and spread your word and do everything we can to further your goals, because that is what is important. That is why you sent your son down to give himself for us. So just be with us this week as we do that. In your name, amen. Happy Easter, everybody.